Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got them right where we want them.
Primetime on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make The Fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? We got the Kozdurkas in the house?
Yes!
How about this? Yes. Shout out to the Kozdurka family in-house doing the, what do they call it, the job shadow?
I was a little uncomfortable. I saw you with two young boys in the same room. I'm like, Rob.
Yeah, that's illegal.
Yeah, restraining order, and then I saw Dad in there, and I was like, all
right,
well.
Should I go right? Should I go left? Damn it. How do I get in that little girl's toilet?
It was very uncomfortable.
Apropos, Mike.
Yeah.
Now, so this is an old buddy of mine. We used to play baseball together. And
old man baseball?
Yeah, yeah.
And semi-professional.
His boys are now, we call it the Masters League.
Oh.
Thank you.
I like that. Yeah, the legends.
And these kids, so Andrew is 16 and Matthew is 13, and they were wee little tykes when we were out there balling in the Masters League. And now they're all grown up and they want to come see what we do, and they're thoroughly disappointed by what radio looks like.
So their dad is, because we've talked about this, your buddy Kaz, he's a fighter pilot.
He is.
And I was like, why on God's green earth, when your dad is a fighter pilot, would you go job shadow you?
Well, he said that you can't do anyone in your own household. So you got to do someone outside of the household.
Don't you have a buddy that flies something that you can go impress him like that? Like, you're just already, this is underwhelming and unimpressive. But when you go from, like, you know, your dad's Maverick, and now you come in here, and it's not like we're Johnny Fever or anything.
We watched Dr. Johnny Fever in action before Mike got here. Andrew and Matthew and I were in there with the great Tim Taylor.
See, now that's something to behold.
Oh, my God. No, it's not. He tapes like, dude, he. I go, play us what you've done today, Tim. And show the guys, like, you know, what you do. And he's like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
And he plays a little thing that he's already taped out, by the way.
Yeah.
He's on 99.5 in the afternoon, but he's not even on there because he's taped it.
Let me just, real quick, Tim Taylor, not dead.
No, he's alive.
No, there were some reports that maybe he had been murdered down in Mexico, and maybe I started those rumors and then perpetuated them. But I'm not going to apologize and say that it was fake news, but turns out he is alive.
Yeah, he was doing mornings for a while, but now he's back. But he tapes out mornings and afternoons.
He tapes out everything.
It's a good gig. And so then he plays like, here's what I do. Let the guys see what I do.
Yeah.
And he plays like a 12-second clip. And it's like, hey, that was
Lee Bryce or whatever.
Joey Bones. And here's Joey Bones' wife. And this is 99.5 The Wolf. Ow! Yeah. And that's it.
I think radio.
Like, oh my God, you are so overpaid.
I think radio back in the day was a lot cooler. Like when, you know.
Dr.
Johnny Fever.
There was in between drags of a cigarette.
Yeah, there was like hookers and like guns and fire trucks and blow. You know, it was like cool stuff. And now it's, and it's just hit play
now
on
this.
Now
it's just this.
Yeah. It's like back in the day, like DJs. You ever go to some concert and they're like the opening act is a DJ and it's just some dude like in a stocking cap with a Mac in front of him? You're like, really? Like that's what you're doing? All right, let's wait for the beat to drop.
Well, have you recovered from yesterday's broadcast?
Not really, but, starting to. Limbering up, went in the hyperbaric chamber, going to go get some of that ice treatment. Oh, got to take care of myself, man. Keep myself in peak radio performance shape.
Got to thank Birdie Time Pub for having us out.
That's a cool place.
Great spot. Southeast 9th and Main. Go check that out. Today we got Joey Harrington in studio at 5:30. That'll be fun. Not taped at all.
No, 100% live.
You will hear him live.
We did not tape him today at 1:30.
Right, Andrew?
Because he had to go pick up his kids. 100%.
And Colin Wilson, Action Network, 3:30.
Love Colin Wilson.
Let's check in on Yankee Mike. I'm sure he's not feeling very good, but...
No.
Mike, how's it going?
You not okay? Great. Not great. No.
Sorry. Uh-oh.
Oh, wait.
Uh-oh. Just sit down. Sit down.
Tim, the great Tim Taylor, not dead. Shouldn't you be doing radio?
Do you know how radio works? You have to get in front of a microphone. Come on.
Yeah. What's happening?
What's going on in here?
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Taylor, 99.5 The Wolf.
Whose show is going on?
Your show's
right
on
now,
right now, and you're not in there. Here. I was telling the story about how you showed our job shadows here. You're 12 seconds of greatness.
The Portland Johnny Fever.
Yeah. So 99.5.
Then why would my message say this from my friend Shane? Dude, I'm laughing my. Can we say?
No. No, you cannot.
Off right now on
Clean
the fan.
It up, Tim.
Talking some serious smack about you.
I beg to differ.
Yeah. He's right. But look,
I just merely stated that you may or may not have been dead, and I may or may not have started that rumor and then perpetuated it. Oh. But I'm not. I did say you're currently alive, and now you've proved it. So you should feel happy.
Now,
you're
I said that you were overpaid because you tape out those 13-second bits where you say, hey, it's National Cheesecake Day.
Okay, first of all.
Now here's a hit.
All right.
And get paid thousands for it.
Listen, I'm going to let you do your thing.
Maybe hundreds.
You know, I get you're just showing off because you got some guests in the studio and all that.
That's what
but
it is.
I'm going to let you guys do your thing.
All right.
But I'm going to issue a challenge.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. I want you to come over to the Wolf and do what I do.
Okay.
Like just have them, you know, talk over a record. We'll have Isaac, you know, jack a record.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd love to. Like live?
Yeah, I'm going to the Moda Center right now for the Luke show, but next week.
It's not gonna be live.
Next week.
It's gonna be live.
Can I tape it and make everybody think it's live?
Goodbye.
Thank you, Tim.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you for showing our Tim was great. I have to say, you were great. With the kids, you were great. Because the AM stuff, the sports talk stuff, it's like Tim's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to Mike.
Because you know what the kids love? Radio. The kids, I'm sure, at your local gymnasium, the talk is the red hot FM AM radio. I know what you kids are into. Yeah. Can't wait to get home and turn on the radio. Listen to Little Orphan Annie and then the hot 5 at 5.
Hey, so Mike, you okay?
I'm a little sad, a little bit defeated.
Yeah.
But the series isn't over yet. I mean, it's over, but it's not over yet. So hopefully you at least get a win tonight and maybe have a little bit of saving face, you know?
Yeah. Don't you think they're shot because, four errors and, that was embarrassing.
They gave up. They gave up after the second three-run home run because they didn't have an error before that one from Correa. Once that six runs hit, it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they threw a couple more errors just for good measure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
I mean, those
kinda
were bad.
They were really bad, yes.
I think they're cooked.
I did enjoy how they kept trying to make excuses for LeMahieu for the little
Smoltz was, he kept saying they were some of the worst hops he'd seen. He made two errors.
Do you want to know what the best thing about last night was? Of all of the things that happened, so the Chiefs beat the Broncos. He had the baseball game. Even UCLA Stanford was on, which I didn't even know that was on yesterday.
Boy, I'm glad I couldn't bet on college football because I'll tell you what, I would have laid a sawbuck. I saw that. That was one of those, honestly, I saw Stanford and they were +3.5. Or excuse me, they were favored by 3.5. And
over
I was
UCLA?
Like, over UCLA, I'm like, why? Why on earth is that only at 3.5? And I was like, that has to be a sucker bet. Stay away from it. And sure enough, Stanford went all Stanford-y and Jekyll and Hyde, and they lost to the worst team in the Pac-12.
I had no idea that game was on yesterday.
No?
No. When I saw it was on at Birdie Time Pub, I thought it was a replay.
No.
Like, oh, wait, that's live. So I missed everything, and I'm glad I did because that game was terrible. The best thing that happened last night was Jimmy Traina. Do you know Jimmy Traina? He's a guy on Twitter. I don't know, sports guy.
Okay.
He's a New York guy, yeah.
Oh, he is? He was the one that put together a thread of people who were bashing Joe Buck on the baseball game because, you know, it's like in to bash Joe Buck, right?
Yes.
Nobody likes Joe Buck.
No, he's the Dane Cook of play-by-play at this point.
He so is.
Huge deal. Rose to prominence.
He's really good.
And yet.
But no one likes him.
Everyone now hates him.
So Jimmy put together a thread of people who were bashing Joe Buck. Why is that? Why is that significant? Because Joe Buck wasn't doing the baseball game. Joe Buck was doing the Broncos Chiefs game.
And yet people were still pissed and at the fake Joe Buck.
Jimmy threw this out. This thread. Hey, here's some guy named Corey. I deadass don't like Joe Buck. # Houston, New York Yankees. Yeah, Joe's not calling the game. Another one says, I didn't think I could feel any sicker, but now Joe Buck is talking about the wind. # ALCS. Another one. Y'all mind calling down to the booth and asking Joe Buck to shut the F up in between pitches? He's not even on the game.
That's how much we hate Joe Buck. And by the way,
I don't hate Joe Buck.
That's how much people. That's how little people know about what they're listening to.
This was kind of my point, though. Like, why does everyone hate Joe Buck? I think Joe Buck's good.
He is good. There's no arguing that he's not good. It's just, it's a taste thing. It's like, why do people hate you? Well, I can kind of see why. Yeah. You're pretty successful, though.
That's a valid point. I'm no Joe Buck. I don't have the hair plugs. Do you think that's what's holding me back?
I do. Yes, I do.
Is the plugs?
Yeah, I think everyone's saying that.
I got some of those corkscrewed in there, Joe Biden style.
Behind your back, everyone's saying that.
I know. Damn it. By the way, I can't look at Joe Biden. I know this is a completely off-topic thing. But anytime I'm trying to watch him, all I can see is those bad hair plugs and his fake teeth. And they move around in his mouth. Sometimes they pop out, and it's horrifying.
Well, all those people are old.
Yeah.
He seems particularly old.
Yes, but he's particularly old, and then he's trying to look young. Like, I think he's had the facelift. He's got that Jerry Jones thing, and then he's really tan, which is fake. He's got the plugs, and I'm telling you, take a look at his fake chompers, and they keep popping out. I can't listen to a thing he has to say because I can't take my eyes off of him. It's horrifying.
Joe Buck, your bias to New York Yankees is sick. Oh, yeah? It's because I'm calling the Broncos game. Anyway, I thought that was the best part of last night.
This is solid. I did not see this.
I'm sorry, Mike. Sorry for your... I mean, maybe they come back. Probably
it's
not.
It's possible. I mean, it's happened before, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
No, when the bullpen was supposed to be the strong point, and then the bullpen is kind of...
Well, and that was terrible to see.
Mostly Adam Ottavino, so...
He has now, this is what, 4 straight appearances, and he has not gotten an out?
Yeah, first time in MLB history that's happened in the postseason.
Who would have thought that number 0 is getting 0 outs? Mm. They ran him out there again today, or
and
well,
it was
I guess last night.
Really bad to see CeCe go out that way, too.
Yeah,
that sucked.
It was kind of cool. It wasn't cool that he got hurt.
The ovation was nice.
But it was nice because without that, I don't know if he gets the reception. And in the midst of Yankee fan being all Yankee fan and yelling about Greinke and getting kicked out of the games and basically just being horrible New York people, it was cool that the Yankee fan stopped being a douche for 4 seconds and realized this was the end of CeCe and gave him a nice ovation.
How about him throwing a test pitch on a dislocated shoulder?
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, and it didn't look that bad either.
No.
Maybe it would help him.
I don't think so.
I'm not so sure.
No? Wasn't his ERA like 8?
What?
Right? Like, CeCe was terrible this year.
He was not terrible this
year.
So
crack his shoulder, and then maybe he'll be better.
Go underhand.
Isn't that how it works?
Softball style. I'm guessing a dislocated... Well, I will tell you that, you know, like, having been hurt more times than I can count, you know when you're hurt. You dislocate your shoulder, you're telling me that he needed to throw a pitch to know that? Like, my shoulder...
He was testing it out.
My shoulder's out. You know what? Let's try this one more time. Nope.
All right. Let's get going.
We are kind of going.
Colin Wilson, Action Network 330. We missed him last week, so we missed all his locks, but he's our gambling guy. We'll get into Oregon, Washington, Arizona State, Utah. What's the right side of... well, there are a lot of games that could be upsets outside of the Pac-12 games where top-ranked teams are playing unranked teams.
Yeah.
And you never know,
well,
right?
Like Georgia last week and South Carolina.
Exactly. South Carolina's hosting Florida. Oklahoma's playing West Virginia. Clemson's playing Louisville. So we'll get into some of those games. That'll be at 3:30. Joey Harrington in studio at 5:30. But up next, let's start with last night in sports. Pat Mahomes, broken leg. Dead.
People freaking out.
We'll start there next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Their website, AAAIAQ.com. Family business helping families for over 50 years, AAA Heating and Cooling. Yesterday, how often will you gamble on sports now that you have legal options in Oregon? And pretty much everyone said, all the time, take my money. Today, how do you expect Oregon, Washington to go? This again at 1080thefan.com. Oregon to the bone. Not sure, but I'm certain Will Darkins will screw it up.
It's tough. It's going to be tough to not vote for that.
Either way, down to the wire, or UW commanding dominance. Vote at 1080thefan.com.
I don't have a great feel, and I won't bet this game personally. but I kind of feel like Oregon is 10 points better than Washington.
Well, then why wouldn't you bet it? The spread's only 3.
Because I don't really trust Oregon.
That's value in your mind.
I don't really trust Oregon on the road, and there's a little bit of a prove it to me kind of thing. I think Washington's going to come out with their hair on fire. I think they realize this is it for them. Backs against the wall, last stand. I think Washington is more talented than they've shown. But if I just took away the uniforms and I took away what I know about both coaching staffs, and I've seen every game that Oregon's played, I've seen just about every game in, let's say, at least 2/4 of every game basically that Washington has played except for the Patsies. And if I just go off of that, I do. I think Oregon is 10 points better. I think across the board, with the exception of probably the kicking game, and then if you want to say coaching, but only on the offensive side of the ball, and now because of the way Washington has been so Jekyll and Hyde, I can't even say that. I just think Oregon is more talented at almost every level. As good as Washington's defense is, and it's good, it's a top 4 defense, it's not Oregon's defense. Eason's not a bad quarterback, but he's not Justin Herbert. Washington has a good O-line, but it's not as good as Oregon's. Oregon's issue at wide receiver, well, Washington has the same issues. Their best receiver may be a true freshman that just got on the field. I think neither squad, Washington, I think their backs maybe are a little bit better than Oregon's. But I think you're being real nitpicky to find even 2 to 3 areas where I think Washington is better than Oregon. So other Husky Stadium, you know, and the fact that Oregon hasn't been very good on the road. But again, that wouldn't be what I've seen this year with my eyes. That would be more of a season or 2 seasons worth of kind of info packed in there, which is why I said I'm not in love with that prediction. I feel like Oregon is just a, you know, 7 to 10 points better than they are.
It's one of those games where, because I think that you're right. I tend to agree. And Oregon's defense, I think, is just legit. Yeah. I mean, I think you can count on it. And that may be the difference. But at the same time, you could probably sit, you could bring an expert in here on the Oregon side, like a gambling guy, right? And sell me on betting Oregon. And you could bring one and say, sell me on betting Washington.
Yeah.
And I would be 50, I'd be going back and forth. Like this Washington is so dangerous, +3 at home in a rivalry game. You got to be kidding me, right? And Oregon on the road, I'm not touching that.
No.
But at the same time, everything you said, I think is right too. So we'll get more on that with Colin Wilson, Action Network. That'll be in about 10 minutes. But Mahomes, Pat Mahomes.
My Mahomie, as the State Farm agent would say.
Your Mahomie's hurt.
Boy, those commercials are terrible.
Now, I didn't see the injury, but I guess it was on a quarterback sneak?
Yeah, a quarterback sneak in, and then, of course, now we all have to yell and scream. Stephen A. Smith is hollering, why would you ever do this? And then the Twitter world is pissed.
Do what? Because, quarterback sneak,
yeah,
Pat
Mahomes?
Yeah,
quarterback sneak with Pat Mahomes.
Is that one of the dumber takes of all time?
It's a pretty ridiculous
one. Put
that
up there.
I don't know if it's the dumbest take of all time, but it's in the conversation of the ones that I've heard this year. Tom Brady quarterback sneaks. If Tom Brady's old ass can get in there, I mean, I honestly don't remember a time, and I'm sure it's happened, but I don't remember a quarterback getting hurt on a quarterback sneak. I mean, it's a fluke thing. Someone fell on top of him. Where you're going to get hurt is dropping back to pass. Where you're going to get hurt is in the pocket. Where you're going to get hurt is rolling out. And we do that. No one's ever like, why does Patrick Mahomes go back to pass? It was a fluke play. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, football is a 100% injury sport. He was already hurt. You play the game, you will get hurt. It is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and how severe. And by the way, he's not dead. They found no structural damage. He had a dislocated knee. He's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks.
That's probably good for him. I heard somebody, well, I mean, the injury's not good for him, but you know what I mean?
Rest his ankle.
Exactly. I heard somebody was making the case that they should just sit him for a couple of weeks. Now's the time to do it, even before the knee injury.
Well, they've got a...
Because he was hobbled.
Yes.
With that ankle. And
the offensive line wasn't healthy either.
And you know how those injuries are. Those ankles, it's just tough. Like,
they can hang around.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe sit him for a couple weeks, and this may be good. He just rests everything.
So they're five and two. And so at this point, look, throw out, if he's out a month, right, just throw out you need to worry about home field. Win your division, right? Win your division. The Chargers suck. The Broncos aren't very good.
Oh, wait, whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
Haven't you been telling us the Broncos are pretty good?
No, I said they're not that bad. There's a difference between pretty good and not that bad.
Let's go to the judges. Mike?
I mean, he did say they're not that bad, but I'm going to go ahead and say that he's changing his opinion right now after that game yesterday.
I am not.
The Broncos
you should.
Suck.
They're terrible. Offense. What happened? Okay, so this is what I don't understand. Okay,
was that a real cough or was that the Broncos making
No, that
a
was
cough?
The Broncos. My eyes were allergic to football's Joe Flacco football. And their offense.
Football's football.
Not when you're playing Broncos offensive
football's
football.
Football. Football's football.
Well, look, explain something to me. See, this is why the NFL.
What do you got?
Well, somebody texted, they said, why would anybody ever bet the schizophrenic Pac-12? Hallelujah. But this is how I feel about the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's like Denver strung together two wins in a row. Mm-hmm. Looked pretty good. The defense starting to get it together, right? And I think their first two losses were really close. I mean, they could have easily been 3-3 because of that Bears game.
And that's where I was saying,
right?
I bet on the Broncos right. 2 weeks in a row, or 2 weeks in a row. And I said they're not as bad as people are right. making them out to be.
So how then? And then Kansas City goes into Denver all banged up. Yeah. Mahomes is hobbling around, and you're like, okay, Thursday road teams traditionally on Thursday night do not fare well. Right?
It's tough Denver's, to go to Denver ever because of the altitude.
Yeah, and Denver's feeling good. How does it does it look like that? Like that matchup.
Because the Broncos suck.
Well, they do, but wait a minute. I'm talking about like the offensive. Joe Flacco was sacked 8 times. Look, Denver.
I think it might have been 9.
It was 9.
Was it 9?
Yeah. Denver. 9 times.
Denver, we knew, wasn't great, but you were making the case that, you know, they're better than you think, and they can certainly win this game with Kansas City as banged up. How does it look like that? How are you that? Did they quit? Is it just they're just getting overrun on the offensive line to the point where they just give up?
I think that's the thing is if you were playing against a real defense, maybe I'd buy into that, but the Chiefs
defense
sucks.
That's what I mean. Like, how does that? Who could have predicted that? No, I'm not saying.
Also, the Broncos couldn't run the ball, and the Chiefs have no run defense.
It's just that's one of those anomaly games, to be honest with you. I can't sit here, and again, I don't have the all 22. If I can sit down and watch it, I'll give you a better idea of exactly what happened. But just from watching that when we were at the birdie time, and I was watching it on the big screen, and then going home and seeing some of it, I can't give you an explanation for why at times a team will come out and do that. The best one I can give is I'll give you a Barry Horowitz on the back. You always say this. The mark of a average team is what? Inconsistency. And the Broncos are exactly that. And I'm here to tell you, see, this will be, they'll play Indy next week, right? And it'll be on the road. And everyone will be like, oh my God, Indy's going to beat them by 50 points. No, they won't. Denver is not a bad football team. If you go through and look at it, right, they lost by 2 to the Bears on a horse crap penalty. They lost by 6 or 7 to the Packers. They lost by 2 points to the Jags. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Titans. They are going to be in a lot of games this year, and they will continue to be in a lot of games. But for whatever reason, on the short week, who knows, they came out and maybe they didn't think Kansas City was that good. Maybe they took them lightly because Kansas City had lost 2 in a row. Maybe it was an inspired effort because Kansas City knew their back was against the wall and they had to have this one. I don't know, but that thing was as bad as you will see a non-Dolphins Redskin team because they're just bad. They're just going to play bad week
like,
to week.
You know what that looked like? It looked like the Titans offensive line.
Yes.
And they have, but they're consistent. Like they have a terrible offensive line and you can see it week to week. And this is why Mariota's been benched and they're just bad.
Yeah.
They have good defense, but their offensive line is terrible. How could you have predicted the Kansas City defensive front versus the Denver offensive front? How could you have predicted that it would look like that?
I don't think you
could on a Thursday night. That's just so weird.
And it's possible, too, that you just got out-schemed, you got out-coached, and one team was ready to play and the other wasn't.
Yeah.
But by the way, people like the whole sky is falling. Mahomes is going to be out, let's even say conservatively, a month, and this was my point. At this point, you just got to win the division.
They're already 5-2?
They're already 5-2. Win the division. So the Raiders have they're at the Colts this week. Or actually, no, I think the Raiders are now I got to go back and look at it.
The Raiders are playing the Packers.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're playing the Pack. But if you look at the schedules, it actually sets up pretty well for Kansas City being out. So they've got a 2-game lead right now, a game and a half, I should say, because the Raiders have to play this week. But they're on the road against Green Bay. I would assume that that's probably a loss. And then they go on the road at Houston. Not an easy game. And then you've got the Lions at home. So the next 3 games are really tough, and you are going to be dogs in each one of those games if you're the Raiders. Now, if you look at Kansas City's schedule, and by the way, if Oakland loses this week against Green Bay, which they're underdogs, that'll be a 2-game lead in the division. And then I mentioned the next couple games for the Raiders. And if you look at Kansas City, Kansas City now has to, next week is against Green Bay, that's tough, and Minnesota. But both of those games are at home. If you can find a way to get a split, great. You're still going to end up with a 2-game lead in the division. Even if you get one of those, you still end up at least with a game. And then you've got the Titans and you've got the Chargers. Those are going to be very winnable games, even if he's not back. And then there's a bye, and then you got head-to-head with the Raiders. Worst case scenario, you're tied in the division with a healthy Pat Mahomes coming back against the Raiders. This is not lights out at all for the Chiefs. This actually sets up with the bye week before you play the Raiders head-to-head. This sets up very nicely for Kansas City.
All right, up next, Action Network's Colin Wilson. How do we bet Oregon-Washington? He's the expert, and he'll tell us when we get back. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joey Harrington will be in studio for a half hour tonight at 5:30. Make sure you tune in for his thoughts on Oregon-Washington. We'll also have a quick update on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app here shortly, but it is Friday at 3:30, which means Colin Wilson, Action Network. He is our gambling aficionado for college football. Colin, we just got a new app that allows us to legally sports bet in Oregon, but we can't bet college.
What are you betting? Are we betting on badminton? Are we betting on handball? What are we betting on?
They have both.
They literally have everything. You can bet on Korean women's volleyball. You can bet on Indian cricket. Basically anything other than college, because, you know, they're not professionals.
Yeah.
You have to. Do these people not understand the reason you're watching Troy and South Alabama on Wednesday night is not because you're fans of Troy and South Alabama. It's because of betting.
Bingo.
You'll appreciate this, Colin, that whenever I'm watching a game and one of my kids comes in, no one asks who I'm rooting for. No one asks, like, what's happening. They always ask the same thing. What's the spread? And it warms my heart that my kids come in and they know that I'm watching that game specifically for the fact that I got some juice on it.
Yeah, my great-grandmother, I'm dating this, but my great-grandmother once told me, I can remember when alcohol was illegal back during Prohibition, and now my kids are going to be like, I can remember when gambling wasn't legal.
Yeah.
So it's hilarious.
How do you, are you in Vegas? Like, where do you place most of your bets?
I have to place most of my bets legally. I place them through Vegas and New Jersey, but I have runners, so I don't actually live in Nevada or New Jersey, but usually when you get to this stage and you've been doing it for about 20 years, you know people in certain parts of the United States that act as runners is what we call them. And then, you know, we have to have a dinner every month or so when I fly into Nevada or fly into Jersey, and we make sure we settle up and everybody's good. And then, you know, of course there's various websites where you can get that done too, but people don't, you know, some states don't like it when you happen to be, you know, out of state trying to make a bet, like Iowa. I've got family that lives in Iowa, and they've had the app for about 3 months, similar to Oregon. And so, you know, they're always asking, you know, what can I put in for a bet? What can I put in for a bet? And I said, well, first you're going to register me and get me an account.
Yes.
And you can start putting in money for me. So it's, you know, this state by state thing is interesting because, you know, I mean, you could live on the border of one state and have to drive, 5 miles across the border and place a bet and then come back to your house. So they should just legalize it, you know, nationwide. It's really ridiculous.
Well, that's me. I live in the state of Washington, and it's about 2.5 miles for me to cross the border. But I work in Portland. I cannot place a bet from my home that's less than 3 miles over the border.
Yeah, I visit you guys as part of the country all the time with my family because it's so beautiful. And if I would live in Washington, if I lived in what is the name of the city? Vancouver. If I lived in Vancouver, Washington, I would drive right across the bridge every day to place a bet and then go back to my couch.
That's what Souk does.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Well, we missed you last week. How did your Saturday go? Did you see that South Carolina Georgia game coming?
I did not see. That was the one I didn't see coming. I actually had a really good weekend. I went 13-5, and I had one of the most profitable weekends that I've had. But I didn't see that one coming at all. And I guess really the writing was on the wall because, you know, there's two teams. And I guess there's a lot of Oregon fans listening to this, so they need to listen to this. There are two teams that are offensively playing it way too conservative on first and second down, and it's allowing opponents to stay in games and give them trouble at the end. Those two teams are Oregon and Georgia. They're playing extremely conservative on first and second down, and I'll specifically pivot over to Oregon. You're not letting Justin Herbert, one of them, you're going to have, you know, the kid's going to be fantastic in the NFL. His talent is endless at the college level, and he doesn't take shots downfield, or he doesn't have dynamic play calling. on first and second down, what we called standard downs, and they really don't let him throw it until third down. There was one game where Herbert was allowed to throw it deep past 20 yards on first down. His efficiency just skyrocketed. Since then, he's never really had the green light to kind of throw it downfield on first down. And I think the conservative play calling is what kept Cal close in the game, what made that Stanford game extremely close. And that's what kept South Carolina in the game. And soon enough, a pick six happens, game is tied, and you're in overtime. And you know, Georgia's missing a kick, and all of a sudden South Carolina has, you know, beat the game and had the upset of the weekend. But the same thing can happen to Oregon if they continue this conservative play calling on first and second down.
Well, where it is, I mean, like, I think the spread's 3, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's down to 2.5.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Which side do you like then?
I'm on Washington this week. I actually power rate this game Washington -1. And that would be, you know, and that's with home field advantage and everything. So you would say that Oregon on a neutral field should be favored by like 1 or 2 points. So to say that the point spread is 3, Oregon -3, then you would say that Oregon on a neutral field would be 6.5 or 7 against Washington. I just don't think there's that big of a gap between the two teams.
Interesting.
Do you like the under in that?
Should like the under, right? But the defense for Oregon has been fantastic. They've been one of the best in the nation. They proved that against Auburn. They were in the backfield all the entire time. They're one of the best in tackles for loss, passes defensed. And they're going to give, you know, Jacob Eason, you would think they would give him some problems. But if you look deeper into the numbers, we have this thing over at the Action Network called Havoc Allowed. So Havoc is where the defense causes fumbles, gets interceptions, has tackles behind the line of scrimmage. Havoc allowed is where your offensive line doesn't allow tackles for loss. Your quarterback doesn't have interceptions. And basically keeps a clean pocket. And Washington is actually top 20 in havoc allowed. They've actually done a very good job in the run blocking, and they haven't let anybody, any running back get tackled behind the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, I would definitely point to the under in this game.
This is Colin Wilson, Action Network. If you're looking for an edge, download the free Action Network app. Get live odds and expert analysis like Colin's for every game. Where's the value to you for Arizona State, Utah?
I think it's in Utah. I know it's a big number. It's 13.5, and I actually power rated a little bit lower. But the 3-3-5 defense that Herm Edwards runs, that's something that Utah has seen before. This defense that Utah has, I don't think the way to beat them is downfield passing, consistent downfield passing like Matt Fink of USC did. I'm not sure Jalen Daniels is going to be able to consistently do that. They have had some explosive passes this year, but I mean, they only have one or two options that they can throw it to, and really it's just been the Eno Benjamin show in the backfield. I think Utah, you know, is going to come into this game and have a huge advantage. There could be some weather that can play a look into it. I actually like the over more than anything else because I think with Zach Moss back, Tyler Huntley at full strength, and I think, you know, Arizona State, they should be able to move the ball. I'm not sure they can get any points because the red zone efficiency for Utah defense has just been outstanding. I still think they're a contender in my pick to win the South. But, I mean, it's a large spread. The one thing that gets me about this game, why it's not a large investment on Utah, is that Herm Edwards has not been beaten by larger than a touchdown in Pac-12 play. That's a crazy stat.
Is Ohio State's laying, like, are they laying 4 touchdowns tonight playing Northwestern?
It's come down a little bit. I know that. I knew that Northwestern money was going to come in because it was, the number is a little outrageous. But, yeah, the number's come down to 27 now.
Value on Northwestern?
Yeah, there is value on Northwestern, but my podcast partner and I at the Action Network, we told everybody, don't think about taking. I mean, here's the thing. Ohio State has been maniacs in the first half. The first half total in this game is 27. Ohio State has scored at least 27 in the first half of all of their games. Now, if Northwestern wants to pitch in, I think there's going to be plenty of points in the first half. And if you look at Northwestern games, their best quarter of play has been the third quarter. If you take the 10 points out, the Michigan State scored on them in the third quarter, and you look at all their other games, they've only given up 7 points. They've been fantastic after Pat Fitzgerald gets his hands on them in the locker room, is able to make adjustments. And by that time, Ohio State in the third quarter may be thinking about Wisconsin. They may sit on the ball. I promise you, Ohio State will not run anything new. They will not put anything on tape tonight that's not already out there on film for Wisconsin to watch. So I think Ohio State kind of sits on the ball in the second half. I think Fitzgerald is going to put some adjustments in the before at halftime, and I think Northwestern's second half is actually the best play, and I'll be waiting for that.
Let me ask you, I know South Carolina pulled the big upset, and now they got a rebound, and I know they're at home, but they get number 9 Florida. Is that 5.5, is that an overreaction to South Carolina beating Georgia?
Maybe a little. I power rate the number 6.5, so maybe a point and a half has come down because of that. But the spot is for real. When you actually take a look at what Florida has been through, they beat Auburn, they go on the road, they played, 89 snaps, which is about 15 more than Florida's average. They got fatigued. That's the reason they didn't cover that game. They were there touchdown for touchdown. Now, LSU finally covered the 13 because I think Florida ran out of gas there at the very end, especially the defense. So after you have an 89-snap game, now you're on the road again. So in your third straight SEC game, your second straight road game, South Carolina's quarterback is going to play, and their defense is legit. They are a legit SEC defense coached by Will Muschamp. This is the number is real, and the money that's on South Carolina is real.
Colin Wilson, Action Network. When you say power rank, what is your method to get your personal spreads?
Yeah, so I actually learned there's a couple of odds makers that are in some of the Vegas casinos, and I've been friends with them for a while, and they taught me years ago how to make a power rating, and really how it starts in the off season is you base it upon returning production, how many players are coming back. Relative to the conference, you look at regression to the mean, you look at turnovers from the prior season, just like 17 different variables to build that number preseason. Once you get into the season, it really comes down to having a clean box score. If you won the game by 3, but the other team gave you 5 turnovers and they outgained you by like 200 yards, then you didn't have a clean box score. You didn't really win the game. And for that reason, I would probably mark you down in power ratings. You look at other things, like you could lose by just 3 points, but you could, double the yards of the other team. You could even have half the plays and double the yards of the other team, and maybe you just had a fumble. I would actually probably upgrade you in power ratings. And using that system is the same way that Vegas does to make numbers, which is why I'm able to kind of pick off when I see a number that isn't correct if a book happens to put something out there that is not in shape with what I have.
Well, what are your big plays for this week in college?
Yeah, we're definitely taking South Carolina. We've already mentioned that. Tonight, I know we're on tit here. That's about to fire off. Syracuse's offensive line is in deep trouble. They've had problems containing, keeping Tommy DeVito clean. And Pitt has been one of the best at containing explosive plays. You can ask Central Florida about that. As for tomorrow, looking down the list, like I said, I mentioned Washington. I like LSU's team total to go over. For some reason, LSU has now allowed over 30 points to Vanderbilt, Florida. Other teams have just been able to get a lot of points on the board against LSU. So I'm not really a big fan of taking 17 Mississippi State, but I do think LSU is going to continue to score points. So I like the LSU team total over. Other than that, Oklahoma State, -3.5. It's a great spot for them against a ranked Baylor team. There's just some serious mismatches there that the Pokes should be able to take advantage of at home.
And then one of our texters asked a good question. He said, hey, what if Colin can give us an extra NFL better too? Because we always ask you about college, but we're all now legally betting on the NFL. We can't do anything right with your college picks, at least legally.
Yeah, and these numbers this week. So, this might not be the week that you guys want to ask that, because the things that I have money down on, people are just probably going to throw up in their mouth a little bit. I have money on the Redskins +10. I have money on the Cincinnati Bengals +4. So there's just I could go deep into how I don't believe in the Niners just yet, and the ease of schedule that they've had, and how Washington is actually in the NFC East race. That's a crazy statement, but it's actually true. Those are the two that I'm on. I like the Jets on Monday Night Football, getting double digits against the Patriots. And keep your eyes on that Dallas Cowboys offensive line. It looks like everybody in that game is hurt, and there is some real money that just pushed it from -3 for Dallas down to -2.5. The wise guys are having their say with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, that means that they're all betting Philly.
It looks like they're all betting Philly. But, I believe in it, too, because Dallas is just ravaged with injuries, especially in the trench.
Yeah. Do you watch the wise guys' moves? Like, I'm sure you do. You got to pay attention to that, right?
I do. It doesn't mean that I agree with them. And you have to remember, a really good gambler, you can't take just one or two games and say, well, that guy's really smart. A really good gambler is anywhere between 54 to 57%. That's where you're really making your money. You're covering the juice and you're making money. If anybody ever tells you they make 60 to 65%, that's just not true, or their sample size is just 100 games, and they might have got lucky on 5 picks. Really, legitimately, if you guys download the Action app, that's what we have at the Action Network. You can make all your picks and all your own plays. And, like, I've had 2,000 plays in there, and I'm sitting around, like, 55.3%. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's the difference between a professional gambler and somebody that does it recreationally is getting that extra half point, betting earlier in the week, betting on Monday and Tuesday, studying the lines, having power ratings, getting to those numbers, because those half points make a difference. The juice paying minus 110 versus minus 120, in the long run, that's going to pay off.
Yep.
So there's little things that separate a professional from a recreational bettor.
I love it. Colin Wilson, every Friday, 3:30, Action Network. Thanks, Colin. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Man, he's so good.
Money. And by the way, you can download that. And they just give you the picks. Mm-hmm. This isn't one of those, like, oh, we give you one free pick and then pay for the rest.
But you do have to... I mean, I think it costs a little money, doesn't it? Doesn't Action Network cost money, or is it free?
I think it costs money to sign up,
right,
to read the articles and stuff. But yeah, once you sign up, they give you everything.
They give you everything.
They give you everything.
Yeah, it's worth it. We have it here at Station. It's definitely worth a look. It's just smart angles, you know, on some of these games. Like, God, I was looking at this today. I was just perusing, you know, prepping for the show and stuff. It's amazing, with gambling being legalized around the country now, how much gambling, how many people are providing picks?
Sure.
Right? Like, oh, here are my, and there's all these random people that you have no idea, and they present themselves as experts. And I don't know, man. Like, it's just becoming the norm that, hey, here are my picks. Here's.
But I love that
and there's in other words, you could listen to a million different people.
Yeah, a million voices.
On the gambling angle. But he is, I tell you what, he's really good, man. That's a pro.
He knows this stuff. He's deep into it, you can tell. And I love the fact that there's just an honesty there, that he's like, look, someone tells you they're hitting it 70%, it's a lie.
Full of it.
Yeah, he's like, look, I've got over 2,000 picks on there, and he goes, I'm hitting it 55%. You know, that's...
By the way, we missed a 13-5 week out of him last week. Yeah. Sorry about that. No show Friday.
No.
Coming to bite us again.
We had Oregon, Colorado.
All right, well, he's on Washington. If you're just tuning in, you missed him. He's on Washington, yeah, against Oregon. All right, we'll get back on track. It is 3:51 on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, quick update on Oregon Lottery scoreboard. They are saying... less than 2 days, 11,215 registrations, total deposits of $536,000, over 7,000 bets. The average bet is $23.39. And the most popular wagers were, of course, the ALCS last night and then the Chiefs Broncos game. And Mike's Twitter feed is just blowing up.
Mike is a new gambling celebrity. Yeah.
He is. He really is. I'm looking here at the Oregon Lottery Twitter feed, and they quote,
yes,
the great Mike Lynch.
They put him in a big box
big
there.
Box, his own thing.
And it's called the fan favorite.
And there's a generic quarterback throwing a football with pretty bad form.
Well, and he's number 21, so he's like he's got a mean machine thing going on.
He's the running back playing quarterback for one play.
Yeah.
And it says, wow, money appeared in my account after Broncos Chiefs went final in basically 1 minute. Now that the issues have faded, this scoreboard app is sick.
All right.
That's what Mike said, and they quote tweeted that.
Yes, they did.
Or they quote, they made their own little graphic out of it.
Yeah. Mike's a big deal.
That's awesome. And it is awesome. Are you signed up yet?
I am signed up.
Dude, it's great.
Happened last night, although I couldn't make any bets because, well, I didn't do it till I got
home. Too late, yeah. Well, you can bet live in game. Here's the thing.
I'm in the state of Washington. So.
Oh, that's right.
So you're really going to have to make this habit and rhythm of doing it before you leave on Friday night.
Yes. I have made NFL picks, though. For this week,
while
I was at work.
Yeah. Mike and I were talking about the bet back feature.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't toyed with the app yet, or if you have, I'm wondering what people think about that bet back thing. I have never seen that before.
I have not either.
Me neither.
But they offer this deal where, like last night, I had the Astros in the over. Okay. So just on the baseball game. And so let's see. The over went over on the home run.
The Correa home run, right?
No, because that made it 6-1. Whenever the over hit, they just cashed that out. I went, right?
Sure.
The other bet, I had the Astros on the money line. And as the game went on, the Astros were winning. So it was pretty clear that I was going to cash that ticket, right? Yeah. But they offer the bet back thing right under your bet. If you check your app on your bet slip, they will pay you a percentage of your ticket. In other words, you can just cash it in early. Now, you won't get the full thing, but you also save your back in case the Yankees were, like, if you thought the Yankees were going to come back, or like the Astros bullpen was depleted or whatever, and you didn't feel good about the Yankees or the Astros actually closing it out, they would just buy your ticket right there and you would win, not as much as you would if you waited. I thought that feature, I didn't do it, but I thought that was really interesting.
So I was, because I have not, obviously I just placed my first bets today, so nothing is gone live. I'm thrown off. I always thought when they, the buyback thing, it was going to be the other way around. Like, you're losing and you can buy back a percentage of it. And you're,
well,
like,
you,
all
still,
right,
you can do that
too. I think they offer that too.
But they do offer that you can cash out right then and there and get a percentage of the bet.
Saves them money.
Huh? Yeah.
Right? Like, they think, well, the Astros are probably going to cover, going to have to pay this guy X number of dollars. Well, let's offer him Y see if he'll take it.
Let me just say this once again for all the people out there. Gambling is fantastic. And if you're not on board, get on board. Do it.
The 1 yard that changed the fate of college football. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.